Okay. Good morning, everybody. I'm Gerrit Strydom. I've got a beautiful wife there in the front row, a very supportive, loving wife. And we've got three beautiful kids, which is somewhere in Kids Church, hopefully. So this morning I really had on my heart, I want to speak about faith and faithfulness. I think for a lot of people, faith is an abstract concept. Certainly for me it was. It's something we hear about, but we never really truly get to understand what it means. Sometimes we look at faith and we would quote scriptures like Hebrews 11, and it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For me, that's English second language. There's a lot of big words, difficult words to understand. And it didn't really help for me to solidify the understanding of faith. If we don't take the time to unpack what faith really is, we're not going to understand the significance and the power of faith. I grew up in quite a traditional church. It's a church that was an hour long every Sunday. You sat in the same spot every week. You had to whisper if you wanted to say something for the person next to you. We weren't encouraged to raise our hands. And I grew up thinking attending church, daily devotions, Bible study every now and then, reading the Word, praying in the morning, that all of that is enough. That's all I needed to do. I didn't really understand or recognize that I needed a relationship with Jesus. And I also didn't know that the Holy Spirit was a person that is alive, that equips us, that empowers us, that convicts us, and that teaches us. See, I was being super faithful in my dead works. My actions might have appeared good on the outside, but it was not motivated by a genuine faith and love for God. I wasn't driven by a desire to do what is good and pleasing to God, but rather by my duty, which is actually just those dead works. See, I had a measure of faithfulness, but no real faith. My religious works was actually just those dirty rags we read about. I had a skewed perception of faith. I mistakenly thought that faith was apathy. It was something that lazy people said so they can sit around and wait for God to sort things out. It's almost an excuse to be disobedient or irresponsible. But that's not true. We'll see later on that faith, real faith, requires action. I also thought that faith was just positive thinking. I would often say, no, it's going to work out. But you know what? Positive thinking is not it's relying on the power of the mind. It's not relying on God. I also thought faith was optimism. We know optimism sees the bright side, but real faith looks at God even if there isn't a bright side. I thought I could have faith for the thing my heart is yearning for the most. But real faith isn't activated by our desires. Real faith is based on who God is. It's a concrete conviction that God can do what He said and what He promised. There's a famous German theologian and priest, Martin Luther. He had a profound view of faith. There's a summary of that, which I just want to read to you. It says, faith is a powerful gift from God that completely changes us. It puts to death our old sinful nature and makes us new people, renewed in heart, mind, and spirit. True faith brings the Holy Spirit with it and naturally leads us to do good. It doesn't stop to ask whether good deeds are needed. By the time that question is asked, faith is already doing them. Faith is living, active trust in God's grace, so strong and certain that sometimes with true faith would rather die 1,000 times than give it up. The Holy Spirit creates this kind of faith. And it leads a person to want to do good freely, not out of duty, but out of love for God. Just like you can't separate heat from fire, you can't separate good works from faith. So here Martin Luther is saying to us that faith transforms us. It changes us. It makes us better. He's also saying that faith will compel you to do good works. And without faith, there is no works. And the last thing that he's saying there, which I think is beautiful, is as you cannot separate light and heat from fire, so you cannot separate works and faith. Let's look at the faith in the life of Noah. I think most people know who Noah was. In Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that comes by faith." So this 500-year-old man, back in the day they got quite old. So this old man, Noah, he built an ark because God said something is going to happen which never happened before. There's going to be a flood. The whole earth is going to be covered with water. Everything and everyone on the earth that doesn't get in the ark will die. See, Noah's faith was active. He couldn't just sit around and wait for the rain. Noah had to trust and believe that God is going to do what he said. He had to trust and believe this every day as he got up, day after day, year after year, building this ark. Noah's faith was an internal conviction that led to an external action. He didn't say, "Yes, Lord, send the rain, but send the boat also." No. If we look at a picture of Noah's ark, you can see that's not the real ark, just a disclaimer. It's an indication of the size. Noah's faith wasn't optimism. It wasn't this positive thinking. He wasn't sitting around waiting for this thing to come floating by. Noah's faith was a deep trust that God will do what he said, and that led to this external action. There's another biblical figure that I want us to look at, Abraham. He was famous for his faith. Also in Hebrews 11 it says, "By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. As he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise." So let's just see by a raise of hands, who of you have given up places you know to go and move to a foreign land and to go live in a tent? I said, okay, I'm not talking about a camping trip. That's amazing. Abram, his faith led him to risk greatly, packing up his family, all his belongings, moving to a foreign land. Abram's faith resulted in obedience. He did what God asked him to do, even though it wasn't easy. See, Abram's faith wasn't perfect, but it was in a perfect God. Abram's faith also grew. As God proved faithful, his faith grew. Abram had to patiently wait for the promise of his son, Isaac, to be born. And as he waited, his faith grew. His faith grew so much that Abram actually believed that, if needed, God could raise Isaac from the dead. So like Abram, our faith is sometimes weak. It could be as small as a mustard seed, but if we continue to be obedient, if we continue to trust and be faithful, our faith will also grow. So by looking at the life of Abram, we can learn that our faith can grow in various ways. Romans 4 verse 19, it talks about Abram and it says that he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. So the key thing there is, Abraham gave glory to God and his faith grew. So how did Abraham do this? Well, through unwavering faith and obedience. See, Abram was faced with impossible situations. His wife, Sarah, was 90 years old and barren, but she was promised to conceive a child. And later on, God told Abram, go and sacrifice your son, the son of his promise, Isaac. But through each of these tests that Abram had to face, God proved faithful, and Abram's faith grew. He gave glory to God, and his faith grew. So if we want our faith to grow, we should also give glory to God. We can give glory to God through our obedience, through our praying with gratitude, seeking his will. We can give glory to God through our praise and worship, like this morning, expressing our love and adoration to him. And we can give glory to God by acting in ways that demonstrate our love and our devotion to him. Faith also comes from hearing. Romans 10 verse 17. It's a short one, but it's powerful. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That one's, it's very basic, but it's there, and it's so obvious, but we need to believe this. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The more time you spend in Scripture, the more your faith will grow. Bible reading, studying the word, sitting under solid teaching, all of that will grow and strengthen our faith. There were times in my life where I had to go through tough times, You know those times where you get up every morning and you don't know how it's going to go, how you're going to get through it. During that time, there's a scripture, I would just read it over and over. Do not be anxious about everything. But in prayer, with prayer and petition, make your request known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts your minds in Christ Jesus. That got stuck in my head because I would just read it over and over. What I would do is I would write that on a piece of paper. I would carry it in my pocket. It would be in a post-it note on my wall. It would be on my phone. It will be on the background. There's times that we need to hear scriptures over and over and over. We need to hear those scriptures until it seeps deep into our hearts. For me, I had to hear that scripture and I had to meditate it until the power of those words came alive within me, until I could feel that strengthening me and strengthening my faith. That is the real power of faith, of hearing the word. Unfortunately, faith also grows from testing. So this is a difficult one. I don't think anybody likes it, but James 1, verse 2 to 4. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." See, trials and tests are a normal part of Christian life. It's how God refines us, refines our faith. It's how we get strengthened. It shouldn't be easy and fun, but it's necessary. It's always for a good purpose. See, the testing of our faith produces something. Just as gold is heated and refined, so our faith gets refined through the test. The purpose of that is so our faith can be complete and mature. See, this mature and complete faith isn't in ourselves. We said in the beginning, it's not positive thinking, it's not optimism. And it's definitely not driven by our deep desires or needs. Faith is a deep trust and confidence in God's promise and His character. It's a belief that God is faithful in keeping His promises, fulfilling His word, showing mercy, and being true. We can have faith because God is faithful.